All right. Welcome to another edition of the Arb Life podcast. I'm joined once again with my esteemed colleagues, Chris Coates and BJ Brock. And we're here talking about the latest comp that you guys have embarked on, both as administrators and setup crew, the whole nine yards. And so I welcome you guys back, and I'm excited to talk about your latest experiences.
Thank you, TC.
Good to see you, Chris. Good to see you, Brian.
Happy to be here.
Thank you, Brian and TC, for taking out time to do this. Specifically, TC, thank you for all the stuff that you do with Arb Life and giving a hoot to have an open ear whenever we have all kinds of stuff to talk about.
I'm always excited. I'm always excited to see you guys and to talk about your adventures. Yeah, so you know, rehashing geezers, legends, comp in Windermere, Florida, this past week. Thoughts, emotions, inspirations. You guys have the floor.
You're first, Chris.
Okay. Yeah, man, there was a lot of anticipation that built up to this year's geezers, and you know, I think going in there were some things, some new challenges that we were going to be faced with, but everybody seemed pretty well poised. We were stoked to find that we were going to have more help than usual, more than usual, probably 30 more people. We had like 47 volunteers sign up, and then the day of, we probably had at least 50. We were fighting to find things for people to do, which is a good problem to have. And everybody out there is always so helpful and asking, what can I do? What can I do? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I just don't even have anything for you to do right now. But anyway, then obviously we also had a record number of competitors. We had over 51 sign up, and then the day of, just like any comp, a bunch of people just didn't show up, which was like five or so competitors, so we ended up with 45 competitors. But yeah, so there's all kinds of really cool things I think that happened this year for that comp. We had a party there at Jeb's house on his property. What part of Florida was that, Brian?
Alatka.
And I don't know if some of you have heard of Jeb Tootin from Palatka, Florida. He's awesome. He is a big supporter of that comp. He's a very well-known tree guy there in Florida. Super friendly, humble, helping guy. And so we actually stayed at his old house. We slept there overnight, and we partied for a couple days. Did some rec climbing. We did some work with wood. He did some milling out there. I cut a big hammer out of wood. Anyway, so we started off the week doing that, and we're thinking that's going to be like a new tradition to what happens with geezer. So at this point, it's kind of turning into like at least an easy week and a half thing, which is great if you're into just climbing trees and having fun. And so anyway, so that was like a sick kickoff to, you know, getting everybody into the mode of being outside every day. Gets back home, you know, it's been so cold. I haven't been outside as much, so it was really nice to be there in Florida and be outside with friends, climbing your butt off. Anyway, so we get in to Windermere, and just Monday, we went right to work. We went right to work, making a game plan, selecting the trees, and really dialing in who was going to do what. And it ran really like clockwork, everyone's help. And I couldn't be more thankful. I have yet to go through and private message everyone that has helped, but at some point I will thank everyone, hopefully personally there. But just people flying in. We had Ricardo Vasquez come in from California. Obviously, Nick was out there. Him and Devin Marchenko, is that how you pronounce his last name? They'd been traveling around together as a kind of a duo of term I'm looking for, contract climbers. So they came out there, helped us put the comp together. Everyone's help. I can name things that people did throughout the week that were incredibly pivotal to help us make the comp happen. But yeah, so honestly, there's just nothing but positive things. And we met some challenges that are like actually still in the works, and some good things I think that are going to come out of them. We'll talk more about them, but I'm pass it over to Brian, share some of his experiences.
Thanks, Chris. The inspiration's the biggest thing that stuck out to me when you started asking me about this comp just now, their TC. And I kind of get it the same way as I always do. It comes from guys that have a good attitude or are willing to help. Like I mentioned Sean Welch. He just showed up. I had never even met him, and he just kind of started coming around, it seems like, but he's from North Carolina, and he just stepped up to do anything, and that's inspiring to me, to remind me that just because I have a purpose doesn't mean I can't do little stuff here and there, just to kind of pick up where somebody else might not be able to fill in the gaps. And then obviously all the legends that climb just like blow me away. I mean, JB Holdway is one of my heroes for sure.
He's so awesome. Yeah.
Richard Mumford, and I mean, all the dudes. Paul Didier, he's a stud. And, you know, Marty Robbins. I could name a ton of them just from all over. Joel Phillips, guys that just keep on doing the work that we want to do into our legendary years, I guess. And I picked up a lot of inspiration from those guys just to keep training and wanting to learn more and share the knowledge that I've acquired.
Well, the thing is, it seems as though, I feel as though every time I, talk with you guys, it becomes more of this drive for you guys to sort of, you know, BJ, we touched on this a little bit earlier really quickly, but really get behind this comp movement from an administrative sort of point. You guys, I don't want to say are a team of sorts, but you're definitely taking the reins with, and I'm looking at it from, and I'm looking at it in the instance of this comp, and also with North American Open Masters, which you guys did in Wichita, and that was sort of this non-sanctioned style. I'm not saying it's outside of the ISA format, because I think a lot of stuff does sort of evolve out of that style, but non-sanctioned in the sense that it is not an ISA sponsored event. So where do you see that going? Do you see that as potential for the future, that there's going to be more of these events that you're going to push for, or are you at a point where you kind of have two that you're going to put more time into? You know, what's the direction with that? You know, from an administrative standpoint, I know both of you guys are really great competitors, so I would expect to see you still competing for quite a long time, but I definitely see you guys and others stepping into administrative roles and taking on a different type of responsibility from the setup and logistics standpoint. So what is the future there? What are the inspirations there? What are some of the goals behind that?
Go ahead, dude.
Well, yeah, that's definitely part of it. That's definitely part of it, because, you know, we're already being involved with helping with comps, and I started helping with geezers 5 years ago, and you know, that was probably my first involvement with helping to run an event or play any role, any even small role in a comp in terms of putting it together. And it just it seems to have snowballed really quickly within that time. But I think what's been an advantage for me is that I've attended a lot of tree climbing competitions. I've learned some do's and don'ts. And honestly, like I'd almost say so many of the do's and don'ts are like social do's and don'ts. Like, how do we treat people? How to, you know, like some of the less, you know, visible things on the surface. I know that sounds weird, but I, you know, the idea of, I'm not saying ISA comps don't do that, but there's almost this more, there's more coldness to it. There's obviously, there's a lot of rules at ISA comps. And so there are rules at NAO, there are rules at Legends. But I think those are competitions that really emphasize more togetherness. And anyway, I could go off a cliff on that, but yeah. So we've got our involvement happening heavily here with Legends and with Naomi, and I feel at this point I'm kind of locked in. I'm locked in for,
yeah,
I would hope for at least the next 5 years with Legends, because eventually I'm going to pass the torch with that. And I want to. I'm already working to kind of, transition out of it, because you have to teach other people. That's the goal of that comp is, you know, and I think people, you know, we're going to write up a mission statement for that tree climbing competition, which I don't, there really is one, but there's this whole lineage and heritage and backstory to geezers that people might not know how it came about, and I want people to know that. I want it to be written somewhere, so that they know that the structure of the event is actually really close to what it was initially, and the goals of the competition are actually followed more closely than ever, which are to have a tree climbing competition run by the younger guys for the older guys, and that is something that we've worked to really adhere to, and also the education part. So this year we had ISA CEUs that are offered, and we had three classes that people could take, and that they were pretty much in succession. So you could go from one class to the next, and we had lunch served in between, so you could get CEUs for the classes. And then, you know, in between, people can go rec, or they could rec during the classes, whatever they want to do. We try to provide some freedom, you know. But we had, on Friday morning, me and Brian taught a kind of a quick advanced climbing class, and we had probably 60 people there in our class, wouldn't you say, Brian?
Yeah, something like that.
50, 60 people easy. And I was surprised. It wasn't
low freezing that morning in Florida.
It was, and that's another thing I was going to say. That week in Florida was actually almost record cold for that, couple of days that week, Wednesday and Thursday of that week in the Orlando area. Woke up, it was about 29 degrees that morning, so
they were losing their minds down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cold. That's cold for Florida. That's cold for Florida. Yeah, you know, Brian, you said earlier, just about some of the, people that inspired you that competed, you know, guys like, JB Holdaway. I know personally a lot of people, but, you know, one of the guys from our way, Bert Kuhn, I mean, he's such an awesome guy to be around all the time. Maybe share just maybe one or two instances, experiences from the comp of those older guys, and maybe the impression that it left on you, or a small memory that you have sort of off the cuff that you can remember that you're sort of hanging on to at this moment in time.
Uh, couple. One that sticks out just like off the top of my head right now is right before the Masters climb on Sunday, the French guys, and Natty Gross in particular, you could tell he was getting antsy, and he just grabbed this like huge palm frond off the ground, and he started dancing around the pavilion like a parade, like he's got his own parade.
I could tell he was nervous. I didn't know he did that.
And he was just trying to get the ants out of his pants, essentially. But
yeah,
he was pulling and laughing, and his buddies Christoph and Jesse were obviously egging him on because he must be like that all the time.
Right?
They love. He was ornery. I want to go.
He was ornery. He was like laughing in the face and stuff. I was like, whatever.
He kept trying to peek at the tree more, and I just walk over in front of him and stare him right in the eyes.
Well, you know, you kind of touching on it right now, man. One of the things that I have heard in the past, and I want to confront some of this stuff, man. And people have made the argument. I'll tell you, this comp is so cool. I personally think it is the coolest tree climbing comp in the world right now, because of what there's so much that's special about it. But the competitors never stop being competitive, even though they're 40, 50, 60, 70 years old. You know, there's an example right there. Natty's been, I'm sure he's been in over a dozen Masters challenges, and he still gets nervous, you know.
Yeah.
That just shows you how much these guys, they love to compete. They want to compete. They have this expectation of themselves. You know, we never stop making goals. We never stop reaching for things that we're trying to do. And I get kind of aggravated with people when, you know, in the past I've been encouraged to make an event easier or to, you know, why are you abiding by the rules? And it's like these guys like to be held to a standard. They like to have an opportunity to test their skills. They want to have a challenge to have to, like, rise up to, man. I'm telling you, like, nothing, it doesn't stop when you're fucking 50 years old. It doesn't.
Right.
And matter of fact, the concept or the idea that would be the case is ageist. And I really push back on the idea that I have somehow removed the fun because the tree climbing competition has gotten more competitive, which, by the way, is not my fault. And in some ways, it's my fault or our fault, the people who have helped to make it more organized, because as it has grown and it's become more organized, more people have wanted to be involved. And it just so happens that those people happen to be badass tree climbers.
Oh,
so that it's just a function of something growing. It's not been because I want it to be more competitive. We literally have not changed. We haven't changed the format. You know, there is this tiered aspect to the competition where you have the competitors grouped together by age, you know, right. And we're actually going to be looking at that this year to see how we can tweak that a little bit to figure out a better balance because, you know, the majority of the competitors are made up of 40 to 50 year old people. And those are the only folks lately that have been getting into the Masters. You have some competitors that are 60 and 70 years old, and they don't make it there. I don't like that. But it also ain't really up to me. First of all, I'm not a scoring judge. And also, I didn't create the current format, how it's structured. But I know that we can do some work to fix that a little bit.
Right.
Anything outside of that, I'll mention as well, if I may. I know I'm kind of here hugging some airtime right now, but
no, don't worry about it.
Is this okay? People have, blame me for. Well, I come to the comp, and it's not fun like it used to be. We talked about before we went, you know, on audio recording that my buddy Flint Anderson mentioned the idea of nostalgia. Everything in the past seems a lot fuzzier and prettier than it is. You know, how things are currently. That's the case in everywhere you go, but you have to create new experiences, and that's what we're doing. The core of the event will always stay the same as long as I'm there. I love the concept of younger guys learning and putting together a fantastic tree climbing competition for older guys, if that continues to be the core of the event, nothing can touch it because of what it does to edify people, what it does to, you know, help people feel included. That comp is great for the idea of inclusion. If you come there and, you know, you don't feel like you belong or you can't fit in, you're doing something wrong because there's nobody there that's saying you don't belong there. You know what I mean? Right. And I hope people really feel that. I really believe that way. I know that Brian does too. I know that all the close friends that we have out there to help put the comp together are those kinds of people, because I wouldn't associate with them if they weren't. And so please believe that we're, the heart of the event is we have every intention to do good, and we're going to build on that. We're actually going to do some things here in the recent future to show some of the strides that we're making to improve the event and just in a better way to honor the climbers that come out there and compete.
No, that's perfect. Brian, you have Chris, I think that's a real good place to sort of wrap up. I mean, not wrap up completely, but if you have any,
you could do a part two of this. There's so much to talk about.
No, I know. I know, and I want to put that out there. I'll put it out tonight. You know, I'll get it uploaded and put it out tonight.
Well, if you're into it, there's two other things I'd like to talk about. Would probably take up near as much time, and I would love for Brian to be involved with it too.
Let's do a part two. Let's do a Geezer's Legends Talk part two tomorrow night, and let's get people let's share it. Let's get it out there. Let's get people talking about it and behind it, and then build a little audience for tomorrow night, and then and give the let's give the people what they want.
Pop it.
Hey, listen, guys. This was again two of my very esteemed colleagues, Chris Coates, Brian Brock, joining me. Jeepers, I don't even know, for the second or the third time on this podcast. Definitely my most frequent and two of my most favorite guests and two of my most favorite arborist friends in the whole industry. Love what you guys do, and I love what you guys bring to the table for not only for me but for the whole community, and I know that a lot of people feel the same way. So listen, let's get back on the horn tomorrow night. Let's keep this conversation going for a part two. And I'll get this edited, get it up there, share it, and get over to the website, www.thearblife.com. Sign up for an email subscription. Follow along. We're going to be around for a long time, live coverage. So, yeah, we love you guys, and thanks for tuning in.